But I want you to know, I really believe that the unity in this body, the love in this body, the peace in this body is releasing tremendous power all around the world. I really do believe this. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. Rivers of living water come out of your belly when you're at peace, when you're in faith, when you're in unity, and when we agree on something, and we just, more than anything else, we have temporal things, as Jody said, you're always believing for healing, you're believing for all that, but greatest thing we're believing is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and the kingdom increases, and it is all over the world. So we are not finished, are we? So I want to talk today about how do we go forward. And, you know, the Old Testament was types and shadows so that we might learn from all the stories about what we have. The scriptures where Jody was reading this morning in Hebrew, that said all these were in faith but didn't receive the promise. You know, isn't it interesting that Abraham, it says that when Jesus came and died and rose from the dead, that Abraham rejoiced to see that day. From where he is at after he died, he saw the promise being fulfilled in Jesus' resurrection, and he rejoiced. Now, how we perceive life is so powerful. In every area of our life, how you perceive things is basically your faith, and you live by your faith. So this is really critical that we keep looking at our own perceptions of how we view things, because it is the powerhouse that either takes us, you know, up or down or sideways or whatever. And so our perception. So the Old Testament talked a lot about, and I'm going to read one scripture to you. It says, we preached over this in Ireland. I loved it. It was our theme and has never left me. It's out of Deuteronomy 6 and 23, and it says this. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. He brought us out of discouragement, out of sin, out of punishment, out of judgment, out of all that. And everybody says, oh, I thank Jesus that he forgave me of my sins. That's a great thing, but don't stop there. He brought us out of all that to take us in. And the children of Israel, because of their doubt and disbelief, struggled for a long time the one whole generation didn't get to enter into the physical promised land. And the Bible says now that was a type and a shadow for us, not only come out of our sin and come out, you know, but to enter into the promise. Now, there's a big difference of thinking we're on our way or we have arrived. And when it comes to us, we are now in the promise. We're not on our way to the promise, we've entered the promised land. We're in the kingdom of God. We have the Spirit of God. That was the real promise. So I'm going to have Chad come and read some scriptures. Before he does that, I want to address this issue. And how many of you ever have somebody said to you, don't take it personally? How many of you ever got mad when somebody said, don't take it personally? How many of you just get totally confused about how do you not take it personally? So let me read you just some quotes about taking it personally. Whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. Nothing other people do is because of you. It's because of themselves. You can take things seriously without taking them personally. The less you respond to negative people, the more peaceful your life becomes. Well, that's a big one. Don't let them know where your goat's tied up. What other people think of you is none of your business. I'll say that one more time, because some of you are going, wait a minute. What other people think of you is none of your business. People's actions are a reflection of them, not you. Never let someone else's opinion become your reality. When you take things personally, when you don't take things personally, you free yourself from carrying burdens that were never yours to carry. Other people's words and actions often reveal more about their own struggles than about your worth. Quite often people are projecting what's in their heart towards you. And I tell you, it takes a real focus, it takes a real power to not take it personally. And all of us have these kind of experiences. And all of us, we talk about peer pressure when you're young, but it never ends. Hard to give examples without getting real detailed, but at the same time, it's like when somebody's calling you stupid, dumb, loser, what's really happening is that's their perception of themselves. And they're trying to crawl out of a hole by putting it on you. Think about it this way, too. When you and I speak to other people, it's really not about them, it's about us. Be careful what you say to people. Be careful about putting them down, even if you're in the car and they're in the other car. The words are affecting your heart of what you're saying and what you're believing. When you believe you're free and God loves you, you also project that on other people. You start saying things to indicate that they're loved, they're free, they're doing well. But I can tell you, and all of us can have stories here of how other people's opinions of other people because people took it personally, their life suffered a great harm. And some of them never reached what God had for them because they took it personally, what other people said about them. We were just sharing a little bit before service, and I was referring a little bit to my calling of becoming a pastor. And when God called me to be a pastor, he didn't want me to be trained through Bible college or seminary. He wanted me to be trained through business and practical living. And so I didn't know that I was going to be a pastor. He hid it from me so that I wouldn't mess up the training. That's what he told me. But after I finally acknowledged that I was a pastor, then the challenge came about, and listen, people will say things to you, but here's another thing, what you think they're saying. Oh, I think people are saying this, and you never heard them say it. Maybe they didn't, but you know, your own thoughts about what you think others are saying can do you great harm. And I was preaching at full gospel meetings. We were seeing miracles take place. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were flowing. People were being really touched. And there was just a power. You know, I can honestly say God was just anointed me and things were happening. I just saw people that had been seeking, you know, for things for 20, 30 years or healings or the baptism. Man, things were popping. And we ended up having a great big meeting in Pier with full gospel businessmen and a big banquet and everything. And we were at... And I was one of the speakers. One of the speakers was a guy from Russia that had been under, you know, that got saved. And another guy, I think I was supposed to minister on the baptism. I think the others were ministering on salvation and healing. But anyway, we're sitting at the banquet table, you know, and my hair's down to my shoulders, and I look like a hippie and was. And anyway, somebody that's sitting beside me was the cook that put it all together, and he finally leaned over and says, who ordained you? Well, I didn't have any ordination papers at that time. But I knew this, that Paul said, no man or agency of man ever ordained me. God ordained me and called me. And I had that. I knew that God had called me. Man didn't call me, so he wasn't going to train me. And, you know, but when he asked me that, man, it was like an arrow in my heart. Oh, what am I going to say? You know, what if they don't, because if people don't think you got anything, they don't receive anything. And all these thoughts are going through my head. And before I could answer him, somebody said, hey, we got a problem in the kitchen. Will you come on? He said, I'll be right back. And I never got to answer him. But I remember thinking about that and how it started to challenge my confidence. That if people don't think you got a degree, whatever else, you know. And about that time, the Russian got up and started preaching. Well, he just got so wound up. He got preaching and he got so fired up. He just finally said, man, if you can eat anything, come on up. Because we had it all kind of set out. If people come forward, the baptism, people come forward for healing. He just turned around and said, let's do it all right now. He just kind of blew the whole schedule out. And I was up praying, and a friend of mine who helped organize it said, John, there's a lady here that I believe is demonic, and you need to cast the devil out of her. And I said, okay. I don't know. There's a lot of things run through your head when things like that happen. But anyway, I went over and laid hands on her, and I hadn't thought about this for a while. But anyway, with the religious organization that she had been with before, it had allowed Satan to come in into her life and take control. And she was trying to be, was believing for the baptism, believing for Jesus, but she had this incredible stronghold in her life because of a legalistic religion that she had been in. And when I laid hands on her, power of God hit her. She went slain in the spirit. She lay there speaking in tongues and was free. And it was like the Spirit of God said, there's your ordination right there. I called you. I equipped you. Keep going. But through the years, you have to constantly be aware of not taking it personal. And not let your mind wander about what everybody else is saying. In fact, there is never any benefit. I know this is kind of hard, but it is never any benefit for you to take something personal and let it affect your heart. God's called you. Doesn't mean we don't take correction. Doesn't mean that we don't still strive to grow. But we don't, you know. So now I go to the other side. When do we take it personally? Is there a time to take it personally? So I'm going to ask Chad to come, and there's a few scriptures here I'm going to ask him to read. Let the eyes of your heart really, let God speak to you during this time, okay? So if you go from there to there.
Okay. All right, Hebrews 12, 22 to 25, 28. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. And this is from Acts 1. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And this is from Acts 2. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Acts 13. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Galatians 3:14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after having listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. 1 John 2:25. So this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And 2 Corinthians 1. For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. God treats you according to who he is, not according to who you are. I don't know if that was part of it, but I just read it anyway.
You did it anyway. You said it out loud. Hallelujah. Boy, there's so much in those. Hallelujah. We've come not to them. They were going to a mountain. They were going to a promised land. We came right into Jesus, face to face. The promise was eternal life, which is knowing him, being intimate with him. We're not headed that direction. We're there. How do you go forward once you're in the promised land? You know, I've thought about, you know, the battles that they have. One of the syndromes that we have in life is when you go through a little battle, you're focused, you're going, you feel value, you feel energy, you know. But when it's over, man, can you? I would just guess that a lot of soccer players go into a type of discouraged or whatever after the World Cup's over. It's like build up, the crowd's going crazy, the whole world's watching, and all of a sudden it's over. Now what do we do? And this is something that we all face after great moments of victory, after great battles of it, you know, some, we don't always feel purpose. That time of, somebody said the other day, when you come into peace with the problem that that you experience and nobody wants to talk about, is a lot of times you feel bored. Out of focus. But we need to see ourselves that we're not headed into the promise. We're in the promised land. Those who look forward to it never got to see it. They look at it now from their and we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses of Abraham, Isaac, and all the other people and all your family members that have gone up to. We're surrounded by the church of the firstborn. We're surrounded by myriads of angels, and we have entered the promise of land. And that promise was the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you inside of Jesus, and Jesus inside the Father, and everything being one. Sounds wonderful. It is wonderful. But you still got to deal with this flesh that sometimes feels unworthy. Feels like there's the perspective is still, it's coming. It's coming. A lot of people are, oh, there's a great revival coming. There's a great promise coming. And it's okay, but it's almost like, no, 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 no. We're in it. How do we function in the promised land? Because we're in the land flowing with milk and honey. That's where we live, and that's where we abide. And it takes faith to believe that and to keep your perspective right. So we talked about not receiving, you know, other people's perspective, other people's viewpoints, other people's criticism, and even other people's praise. Don't take it personally. I've had to learn not only to discard their criticisms, but when people come, "Oh, you're wonderful, you're a man of God," and I sometimes address it to them. Sometimes I do it by this way: "Yeah, I'm a real saint, and so are you." "Well, no, not me. I'm really..." No, listen. If you're born again, you're a saint. If you're born again, you're in the promised land. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. If you got to believe that, this thing of comparison. And so sometimes I've had to take the praises of men and make sure I don't take it personally. "Well, you're really something, you know." Yeah, I am, but so are you. We're in the same boat. There's not a hierarchy here. We're children of God, period. End of discussion. All of us. We all have access. "Well, would you pray for me, Pastor, because I just know your prayers are powerful." Yeah, they are, but so are yours. And man, you don't want to get to where you think you're more anointed than somebody else. You got to believe you're anointed. You got to believe you're equipped. But you got to also believe everybody else is too. They may not be walking in it. That's why we try to help each other. That's what we're doing here today. We're reminding ourselves that we're not headed into this thing. We are in this thing. When do we take it personal? See, other people are going to project on you what's actually in their hearts. That's not yours. Don't take it. It's none of your business. But when Jesus speaks to you, he's projecting what's inside him. And what's that? He's God. He's victorious. He's powerful. Everything's been given to him. All authority's been given to him. He's defeated the devil. He has won the battle. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Take that personally. When he says, "You've been seated with me in the heavenly places," take it personally. That's not for you to discard and, "Well, I'm not there yet." No. Take it personally. Make it personally yours. That last scripture in Corinthians, every promise of God, every promise God made, is yes, and what's amen mean? So be it. Yes, and so be it. Every promise of God is yes and amen if you're in Christ Jesus. Every promise of God was actually made to Jesus himself. You read the Psalms, you read all those, you read Psalms 90, what's the psalm we quoted? 91. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say unto the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Take it personally. Why? Because you're in Christ. And that psalm was to Jesus. "With long life I'll satisfy and let him behold my salvation." That was to Jesus. Take it personally. He is projecting that on you. You're in me. I'm in you. We're one now. You have my mind. You have my spirit. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And the life I now live, I live by, and I used to say, by faith in Jesus. And I really think it's probably more, I'm living it by the faith of Jesus. The faith I have in God came from Jesus, not me. I take it personally. One of the things I took, do what you want with this. One of the things I took personally is that not one of his bones will be broken. That was talking about Jesus, right? And on the cross, they broke the other two people on the cross. They broke their bones. Sabbath was coming. They got to get him down. The whole thing about crucifixion is you're suffocating. You've got to push yourself up to get any air. When you push yourself up, pull yourself up, all the nerves in your wrist, that nail went right through the main point here. It fired every one of your nerves. Same with your feet. And so to live, you had to have this excruciating pain to get air. When they came to Jesus, they were going to break his legs, because that's what they did to speed up the crucifixion, because then you couldn't raise yourself up to get air. And they didn't break his legs. That was a promise of Jesus. Not one of his bones would be broken. I took it personally. He's in me, I'm in him. Not one of my bones will be broken. I start confessing that as a teenager. Not one of my bones will be broken. Living on the farm, driving motorcycles. I think when we had the lumberyard, we were trying to make money. We were trying to live. It was a tough time. So I ended up not only selling the shingles, but I went and shingled the houses. I think we shingled 5 houses that summer. I fell off every one of them. Almost shish kebab myself on a steel post coming off of one. Tightened up real close, steel post over here, and the flowers over here. How many of you remember Dave and Hannah Lundgren? It was Hannah Lundgren's house. And she told me, "Don't you hurt my flowers." She's a German woman. I feared her. And we were just doing it right here in Sturgis. And I slipped on some shingles, grabbed the gutter, didn't want to rip it off. So aim shot right between the steel post and her flowers. Everything was safe. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is, take it personal. Every promise is to you, because you're in the promised land, you're in Christ. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can believe that. I know. But we live by faith. We live by what we believe. So as you read the scriptures, as you look at things, when you look at your own perspective, when other people criticize you, whatever else, learn how to just throw that aside and say, that's not for me. But when Jesus says something, when the Father says something to Jesus and promised him, "With long life I'll satisfy you, lither you behold my salvation." What did Peter say? He says, you can partake of the divine nature of God in every area of life, and everything pertaining to life and godliness is yours by what? Standing on the promises. Take the promise and make it personally your. The Father speaking directly to you, not to the, he's talking to the whole church, but men, take it personally. It's your word. It's your truth. Listen to what he says about who you are and nobody else. No praise, no criticism, nothing from anybody else. You know, you got to say, balance it out. Yeah, if somebody criticizes you and it's legitimate, say, I'm sorry I offended you. I'll stop that. I mean, grow up in it. But do not let condemnation come in. Do not let somebody else's words take you out of what God has asked you to do and what you ask, and get excited about taking it personal. Anybody get anything out of that? Take it personal. Get belligerent about it. Well, what if it don't come to pass? Look how much stuff is not coming to pass. Come on. Get over it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Will you be challenged? Absolutely. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Take it personally. Talk to your own soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within thee. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know what you're doing? You're talking to yourself. And your words are powerful. And your soul will listen to you. And it has to obey. It has to obey. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget none of his benefits. That's a word, take it personally. Who heals all your diseases, forgives you of your sins, and grants unto you the desires of your heart, so your youth is restored like an eagle. You know what I'm believing right now? God, grant unto me the desires of my heart so my youth is restored, because I need a restoration. I'm not dead yet, and I want to live till I die. Take it personal. Amen. God bless you. Happy birthday, Donna. You're looking great, girl. Love you all. Take that personally, even though it's coming from me.